We have the rabbis, we have all the tzaddikim, and this is not my case. But my teaching is actually sharing, sharing my process, sharing my thoughts, sharing what's going on with me in my life, and with the processes that I'm trying to go through. So after the such a long period of time, I hope I'm not going to explode here. Because I have too much to share.
We just need 2 classes a week from you.
We can try. Today, because it's a Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Iyar is Otiyot Aleph Yud Reish. And it's the Rashi Tevot of the Pasuk, Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am Hashem, your healer. Wow. I'm your doctor.
This is the first.
This is the letters of Iyar. Aleph, Ani.
Aleph.
Okay. Yud is Hashem. Ken?
Ken.
Rofecha. Rofe. Doctor. I'm your healer.
That's why we call and Iyar the month of healing.
Exactly. Exactly. This is the month of healing. And there's a different verse that says, Verapo yerape. Rapo yerape. Can when a person, when a human doctor is healing, it's with pe. It's the same letters, but you have articulation on the ot pe. So you have fe without and pe when it's with. So when a human doctor is healing, it's with pe. It's harder. It hurts more. But when Hashem is healing, it's with the fe. Rofecha, I'm rofe. Hashem healing is from within, from inside. Because when medicine and healing is coming from the outside, it hurts. It could be a very strong a speech, talk, very hurt, conversations, and especially medicines can really make you weak, make you feel bad.
Yes.
And the real truth is that healing that came from outside is never complete. The completeness of healing is when you're healing yourself from inside. When you're taking a part in it. It's not only the antibiotics that your doctor gave you. It's something that you're understanding. Because as long as the situation is that you have a sick person and healing, you have a contradiction. There is no healing in that situation. We can solve problems, we can answer some questions, but it's all in your mind. You hear me, it might sound interesting, but you're going out and you find a candy that make you forget all of it. If the person is not taking himself to an inner process of work, which is the hard part of learning, he will not change. And this is also how it's going with healing. Because every sickness, every mental or physical problem that the person has is a result of a war.
What is, like, inner work from the Jewish perspective? Like, how do we do it?
I'm not sure that I can answer only from a Jewish perspective, because I learned so much Buddhism and things during my process before I got to learn Judaism. And I'm sure that I'm influenced by that. I'm trying to talk only from things that I found inside Judaism. Because I also know more than that. But I'm trying to leave that aside and until I will find the proofs for that in our... Okay, so I'll try to answer you. I'm just continuing, but I will answer. It's going to be answered, okay. Hopefully. And ask me again if I'm going to...
Okay.
It's hard to hear it, okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hurt you.
No.
But the sick person, he himself is the disease. He himself is causing his own situation, okay? Even if it's something that you're not dependent, it's the air that you're breathing. Okay, so you need to move. You need to move to a place with better air to breathe. It's the food that you're eating. This is the physical aspect. But it's also the disastrous thoughts that you're thinking, that you're giving place in your mind. It's all in us. Because to say Ani Hashem Rof'echa, Hashem, like we're always saying, is the is merciness, is good, is light. And when you're following the positive thinking, the positive movements in your spirit, in your soul, letting your soul shine, and this is only by using and gluing yourself to the truth. And the truth starts, I'm not talking about, and this is what separates me from tzaddikim and rabbis, because I'm not a tzaddik and I'm not a rabbi. I'm not talking to you about idealistic truth. Following the truth, yes, follow the truth. I need to go to the toilet now. Where is that truth with me now? Okay? Taking it all down to my life. This is where I'm beginning. Okay?
Yeah.
A real Torah is Torah that coming from your life. And the first principle of Jewish healing and of Jewish spiritual process, to answer you,
yes,
is to learn.
Okay.
And to take something with you. Not to leave nothing in a philosophical aspect. You always need to leave something in philosophy, because you cannot concentrate in everything in your own private life. But to be aimed to that purpose, to take what you learned, if it made you happy, if you felt that this person or this studying that you had with your friend or whatever in the class, the atmosphere revived you.
Mm-hmm.
Look for something to take with you and go with it. This is Judaism. And in Pesach we see it, in the Haggadah of Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
You see, who is the evil?
The one who doesn't ask questions.
No, this is the one that doesn't know how to ask questions.
Oh, the one that...
He's the worst one, actually.
The one that doesn't even think to ask.
The evil one... Because he's not in a process at all. He's not asking.
Yeah.
So, what? How do you want to develop?
Uh-huh. Ah.
You have no questions? How could it be? Who is the one that our Chachamim is calling evil? The one that is asking. What is all that commandments and mitzvot and this everything? What's the meaning of all of it for you? And he's asking because he means that he wants to know what is it for you. He's not interested to take it to his own life. He's not about learning and he wants for philosophy. He wants to. He came from. I heard once Rav Erez Moshe Doron. I don't know if you know him. I heard him once talking. He came from Harvard University. And I want to study about you Jews, about Europe. No. Go away, you evil. You're what? What do you want from me? I just want to ask. No. Jewish learning is learning for life.
Can I reiterate what you said to see if I understand it correctly?
Yeah.
So what I heard you say is that Jewish learning, Jewish healing, is to learn and take the lessons with you, put them inside you where they transform you, and never to leave them in the philosophical.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So you have to, like, take... because studying Judaism is, like, the complete opposite of simple.
Okay.
At the same time, it must be simple, but... What I mean is
I'm trying to make it simple.
Yeah. So what I mean is that it's a lot of learning. You cannot learn all of it. It's a process. It takes some time. I want to understand. So what you're suggesting is to take like a piece of what you're learning.
Yes.
Maybe the one that calls to you the most.
Yes.
And put that into action or like take that into your life. In some way.
If it's something that if you just heard about secrets of Netilat Yadayim and you're thrilled from that, take it to action because it's an action to do.
Yeah.
But if you heard the concept of going with good thoughts, start fighting on that.
Okay.
It's not an act to do, but it's the way you live, the way you think.
Yes.
To learn how to deny the liar within you. The one that is telling you, you did that, and you have no hope anymore, and you ruined it all, and everything. You're a liar. And why is he a liar? Not because he's not saying the truth about the facts. He's mentioning the right facts. He's talking, you did this and you did that. It's true.
So?
If he told you, you changed your name, you're crazy, you ate that, but you didn't change your name, you didn't eat what is that? You know he's a liar.
Yeah.
But he's smarter than that. He's telling you, you said the blessing, but you didn't mean. And you talked to your mother not with enough respect or whatever, and he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now he's telling you have no hope and you ruined it all.
I get you.
But he's still a liar. Mm-hmm. Why?
He's using like the truth to get into you and lie.
Yes, and but what is the real truth?
That there is hope.
That there is hope.
The real truth is always to build you and not to break your spirit.
Wow.
That's the truth. The facts of what happened or not happened is not the truth yet.
Wait, the real truth is always to build you
and not to break you.
And not to break your spirit. And this is why only by following the truth, that truth, you can heal yourself. And you can go to a doctor. But even if the doctor will heal you, he's not really healing you. It's only cosmetics.
It's like treating the symptoms.
Yes.
Not the actual
exactly.
issue.
No one can finish the war that's happening inside you. Instead of you.
Mm-hmm.
No one can do it. So what is the war about? The war is about your faith. About emunah. About also, what?
And also being strong, like, to identify those voices, you know?
Exactly.
When you're weak, you listen to those voices.
Exactly.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
When you're weak, you listen to those voices. Like,
yes, but what made you weak in the first place? This is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Always different. It's different things.
It might be
environment, something tricky.
The war is on faith. Mm-hmm. Benu is saying that. As tired as you get, you're losing your faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we go to sleep at night, to revive our faith.
Mm. I don't understand.
Tiredness, you see people when they're tired, they become more angry, more...
Yes.
Why? Yeah. They're losing their faith. This is why we need to sleep. We don't need to go to sleep because we're tired. We need to go to sleep because we're losing our faith. You know, the holy language, every letter has a meaning. Everything has a meaning. And machala, which is a disease, is the same letters, of chemla, compassion. Wow. The same letters.
Wait, you spell machalat.
Mem, chet, lamed, hey. And compassion is chemla, chet, mem, lamed, hey. The disease is only a part of the compassion of the Creator. Why? Like I told you in one of the classes, if you just ate something that was
rotten,
not good anymore, and I'm sorry to talk to you about that, but you need to run to the toilet because of that, what is it? Is it the problem or the solution?
The solution.
The solution.
Your body is trying to get rid of something that is bad.
Yeah.
This is a disease. This is the meaning of disease.
Right.
And the medicine don't let you take it out.
And if you go in, if you go to the doctor and ask for a pill against the problem in the toilet, what are you causing?
You're just stopping the flow of everything.
You choose to leave it inside.
Yeah.
Never fight with something that the body tried to waste.
Right. I think the difference is, to me, it sounds like, is if you need to take medicine to treat the shoresh of something, if you're actually with the medicine treating the actual issue, or with the medicine you're treating the symptoms. That seems to be the difference between when it's appropriate to take medicine.
Yes.
And also in spiritual terms.
I'm not against all medicine. I'm not but to understand the idea, the disease is a part of the cleaning and cleansing of your body. It's a natural process.
Yeah.
And what we really need is to change our logic. And this is what we're doing when we learn in Torah. Because we have our natural logic, but the Torah is the divine logic. And when you're accepting and taking to you the divine logic, to understand that even if we're talking about real facts in reality and how bad you acted in the past, still to break your spirit out of it is a lie. This is not natural logic. It's a divine logic. So also to take it to your concepts and understanding of healing. And what am I talking about? This is one of the hardest points in Avodat Hashem, in spiritual processes. When you are trying to go in the right way, okay, now you understood that you need to stop eating pizza, you need to stop all the things that make you bad, and you're starting to eat a lot better. A lot, natural, vegan, whatever. Well, you choose the way that you believe in. I'm not forcing and not trying to convince. You see that after a while, you become sick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also spiritually.
Yes.
When you're becoming spiritual, and then, but all the problems raise up suddenly.
Maybe it's time to
why?
Next step.
When us in our natural logic see that, we say, oh, maybe it's the wrong way. Maybe I shouldn't go in that way.
Because everything is it's going a good up.
Thing.
It means everything. Yeah, exactly. When you
it's because it, you're starting to. Let's talk in the physical aspect. Your body is starting to get stronger, and he has the powers now to try to start cleaning itself. So the disease is coming, because the disease is the cleaning. It's not the wrong way. It's not. This is the proof that it's the right way.
This actually happened to me. Like when I first came here, after I was living in Yerushalayim, and I was really stressed out for 3 months and everything, and I came here and I was eating really healthy and doing really good, and I remember I was throwing up every week.
Yep.
Wow.
Like I would be up all night throwing up, and it happened to me for like 2 months.
Wow.
And then my body was like cleansed.
Wow.
It was really crazy.
Amazing.
It happens to me every year that time of year. It's like after the Chagim, my body like throws
up. After the too much eating of the Chagim. When we believe the lying voices, when a problem comes, immediately they raise up with it and starting to say, it's the wrong way. You see, you became sick now.
Yeah.
Mm. You see how angry you are. Why? Why? No, it's because now spiritually you're ready. You're stronger. And you are ready to deal with your problems, and especially with the anger, which is the root to all problems,
mm-hmm.
spiritual problems. It comes.
Yeah. For can you I to say an example?
Of course.
One friend of mine, she once went to the doctor and she had like little tumors.
What? Tumors?
Tumors, yeah. Cancer cells.
Okay.
Like small, okay. But they weren't like, so the doctor told her like, what, in 1 week you have to come back so we can make the studies and see if they're good or bad or whatever. And she was completely like in shock. Because she's very healthy also. And what she did was like she started meditating on Hashem's name,
mm-hmm.
and she started like just being grateful with like just saying thank you for my life and thank you for like just meditating like for 2 whole days and just giving thanks, and she went to the doctor and she didn't have anything.
Whoa.
The doctor was like, what?
How could it be?
Just because she was grateful for that, like she was like, it was strong, but she was like, thank you for this also, you know, thank you for my.
Yes, wow. Yes, and this is what we began with.
Yeah.
Toda rabba.
Yeah.
That's the root.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Ken, when the test is coming, and like we said, test is not something that you can succeed or fail with. It's only a chance.
Yeah.
That you're getting. You're having a chance to deal with your anger, means when you're angry. It's not something in the sky, it's not ideological. Fighting with your anger is not something that you can learn about it and you can, but it's always philosophical until you get angry and then you see if you improved or not.
Yeah.
That's it. And as long as you're keeping yourself inside in a situation of a war, let's say you're trying to work on your anger, okay? And now you became angry. And now you're angry at yourself that you're angry. You're still in the war. And as long as you have a war inside you, you're not able to heal.
Mm.
This is what we said. Healing comes with inner peace. And inner peace means that even if you became angry, you're able to make the observation, to just look at it, to observe, like you do in meditations, to observe your thoughts, to observe your feelings. To just, wow, is this who I am? Can I be so this or that or, wow.
That part
of not rejecting.
Yeah.
Not rejecting who you are. Because this is Hashem. This is how Hashem created you in that moment. To have your will and hopes for the future. But never to reject who you are in the present. Never. Because if you're keeping the war, when there is a sick person and illness, there's still a contradiction. The war is about the faith that healing comes from inside. To feel complete always. Because in the moment that you understand that you're so far, that you have no faith, that you have no connection to nothing in holiness. You're waking up to be aware to that. You're back in the game. You're close again. Because you're aware. And you can be closer than people that have faith. And they're so close. And they're so righteous. But their awareness is asleep. Can you really believe in that or not?
No.
We're not saying that the people that already achieved and they're already righteous and they're not good and we're not better than no one. But truth is in the moment. In the moment of the present now.
Yes.
And if you're in the truth, even if it's the lowest truth in the world, in humanity,
yeah.
If you're in that truth of yourself, of what you are, you're close. Mm-hmm. You're with Hashem. Mm-hmm. And this is the secret. And if you keep yourself in that truth, which means in that awareness, because let's say the Eastern Torah and wisdom is talking about meditations and things, which is amazing. I'm also trying to use it. But it always has the separation between when you need to change a diaper to your baby and when you're meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that this is also the ideal forming of this, the Eastern wisdom. The idea of Judaism to just meditate during what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is not to live real life and to be holy. Holiness is to live your life holy. Not to have a wife, not to have a husband. That's not holiness. That's a war. It's not war between the species. It's a war. It's a separation in your spirit. Because you have a male inside. You have a female inside.
Mm-hmm.
I have also a female inside. And if I will not have a wife, I'm not complete. I don't have a way to really see my relations with my femaleness in real life. And this is what happened to the sons of Aaron. This is what Chazal are telling us. It's not written, our Chachamim are telling us. It's not written in the verses.
What?
But it's written that they're saying that they were burned from what they did.
Right.
And again, let's take it to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's make it a story for a second and then bring it back to Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have the new Mishkan. Everybody gave their gold, the most precious thing that they had, opened their hearts, gave, donated. And now Bezalel and all the wise people, they made it. And now it's ready and Moshe is building it. And now you see that tent, its place. And it's beautiful. And you see how Aaron is coming with his sons. And Moshe is coming. And for the whole first week, Moshe is making the sacrifices and teaching Aaron and his sons how to do it and what you need to do and what's going on. And then comes the big day when the Kohanim, Aaron and his sons, need to start do the real job is when they do it. So the day begins with Aaron taking his private calf and making tshuva on the golden calf. First of all, this is the beginning of the Mishkan. Because all the Mishkan came out when Moshe went and asked Hashem, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them.
Yes.
So Hashem, okay, forgive, go build the Mishkan.
Yes, yes.
So the Mishkan begins with Aaron taking that calf and making tshuva in front of all of the people, millions of people looking at him, making tshuva. It's amazing. All his family, he and his sons, and the verses are saying that. Whatever sacrifice, the verses are saying, and then his sons came and took the blood. Like a family, it's happening together. They're just one unit, so unite. So and everybody is watching, everybody sees. And then in one moment, they do that mistake. And they're burned alive. So Chazal, now let's bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Our Chachamim are telling us that they decided not in, to marry. They wanted only to stay inside the holiness.
Mm.
They decided, it's so amazing, it's so spiritual. They decided not to marry a wife.
Mm.
They burned in the same moment. Because holiness is fire. It can burn. Putting your holiness in the inside vessels,
mm-hmm.
that is first of all your life, you can burn. It's very, very dangerous. And I thought about it once, that a few verses later, it says that Moshe called their cousins to, it's in Parashat Shmini.
Mm-hmm.
Moshe called their cousins to take them out, because you cannot leave the dead inside of the Mishkan. And it's written that they pulled them out with their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Rashi immediately is asking question. If they were burned, how did they have clothes?
Yeah.
And then he answers that they were burned from inside. The fire came and it came inside their two holes in their nose and burned them from inside. To just, you know, there is this beautiful Zen story about one that came to the one of the Zen wise people, and he was very educated and he tried a lot of spiritual techniques. So the wise man asked him, "Do you want to drink?" So he said, "Yes, I would love to. Thank you." So he's starting to pour the water to the glass, and he's pouring and pouring and pouring, and the glass is full. And the water is going out, and he's pouring and pouring. He doesn't care. Everything is wet, and everything is water, and he's pouring and pouring. And this person is asking him, "What are you doing? It's full already." He told him, "You're also full already. You're not ready to accept nothing from me."
Wow.
You're full already.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's amazing because people talk like, we think like, oh, you're so full, like you, like that's the status of what it means to be so high and holy. But actually, no. To have an empty vessel is what is able to pour.
To be able to receive.
To be able to receive.
To leave yourself able to receive. Even righteous people and even successful spiritual, like in Judaism, they make all mitzvot and they have faith and they have targets in life, and it's all good. But when you lose your awareness because you already know, you're far. And it doesn't matter how successful you are. It's not. Because closeness to Hashem comes from emptiness. If you're starting to feel full, and when Aaron's sons enjoyed the light so much and they wanted to just achieve and achieve and achieve and to not to leave the temple and not to marry wives, it burned them. So let's go back. When the breaking comes, when the person is angry again and he's trying to fight his anger, when you're angry at yourself because you're angry, you fall to despair. This is how it goes. If not in the first time, the second time, the third time, one day you understand that you're not able to fix it, because this is your state of mind, to be so disappointed and angry at yourself when you're wrong. Healing comes when you're building yourself. And the problem with despair is that it leads to addiction. Despair leads to addiction. And addiction is a problem that is a lot stronger than the problem that led to it. Because every regular, natural problem that you have, that we have, because we all have nature, is something that you're meant to deal with and to solve with the light of Torah, with your awareness, with your prayers, with your faith. It's a spiritual process that is so deep and hard, and it's planted and hidden so deep in your physical body that is a lot harder to solve. And people that their sickness became so deep, it could be a mental sickness. And it's coming only because there is no concept of understanding that healing comes from inside and not from outside. And healing comes from inner peace and not from war. And again, it's a hard war, very hard. And to win that war, we need to go somewhere that is beyond the regular awareness, beyond the regular logic that we have, because it's in extreme cases, it's carved so deep into the memory, into the body. We must find a way, like meditation. Maybe meditation itself is for sure a part of it. Using periods of time in your life to just be separated from the world. And go to the Mishkan, and go to holiness, and live, but not to make a split and separation in your life. Also bring holiness into your life, and to meditate, and to go somewhere that is beyond memory, because the memory is already sick. To go beyond understandings, to go beyond thoughts, to go beyond feelings, because it's all somehow a part of it, to be able to somehow to observe and to see what's going on without judging nothing, not yourself, no one, and to build your faith from that place. And in our parasha, Parashat Azriya, the parasha begins with all the rules about contamination of a woman after giving birth. And basically, why is she contaminated, actually? What is the meaning of contamination at all? Why a woman that is giving birth is being contaminated by that?
I don't know.
Let's say, okay, it's you have like the physical aspect that of seeing blood, but what's the meaning of the monthly time of the woman that contaminates her? What is it? What's the meaning of it? Contamination is a power that conquers place. Every month, the body of women is waking up to bring life to the world. There is a strong movement of life waking up in your body. And when it's not happening, it's going away. Contamination is coming when life is leaving.
But when the blood is leaving you, the baby's still inside, the life force is still inside you.
I'm not talking about giving birth, about the monthly period.
Okay, right. That makes more sense. That makes sense because you are losing the creative.
But also, when you're giving birth, you're giving life out of you to the world. This is the reality of contamination.
But what
when there is life that came out, there is an empty space that contamination reveal in it. And this is a part of the process of women.
Yeah.
All the life to fix that, to clean that spiritual process that is happening. And this is also the difference between in the beginning of the parasha when she gives a boy or a girl. Because when she gives life to a boy, she is contaminated for a certain period of time. And when she gives life to a girl, she's contaminated double of the time.
Really?
Yes. Why? Why?
I don't know.
Because women, girls, are born with two ovaries that contain all the power of life in a potential already inside them. Every woman that comes to that world is born with all the life potential of next generations inside her. In difference of a man.